What is up, DC? This is Wesley Clark briefly filling in for Doc Walker. A big weekend in sports. You know, we just heard Adam Epstein for the last couple of hours talk about the Commanders against the Falcons and what they can do. Obviously, Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin out this weekend against the Falcons, hopefully coming back next week. But big day today, as it is noon. College game day. Got a couple more minutes left on ESPN. But if you look at the slate, it's loaded. You know, I'll go down the list. You know, we'll go out west first between Ohio State and Washington. Washington trying to upset the Buckeyes, who are number one in the country. That game is 8.5. On ESPN analytics, they have Ohio State a 68% chance of winning. But a lot of the analysts, especially on CBS, have Washington winning. But if you go to the ranked games, USC, Illinois, that game is in Illinois. USC, a 6.5-point favorite. LSU, Ole Miss is also going to be a good game. But if you look back from last year when Ryan Williams broke out for Alabama against Georgia, that rematch is tonight. 2.5-point favorites to the Dogs. And it's in Georgia. So not surprised there that Georgia is the favorite. Now, I will say Georgia kind of got bailed out last week against Tennessee in the overtime game. But a big week in college football. And before I get back to college football, I'm going to just hit on Major League Baseball briefly and what's going on. Yesterday, the Detroit Tigers blew a lead against the Boston Red Sox. That led to the Red Sox clinching a wild card spot. They cannot get the division as the Yankees and the Blue Jays are both at 92 and 68. The Red Sox at 88 and 72. But I'm curious to know what the Detroit Tigers fan base is like right now. The Cleveland Guardians were 15.5 games behind first place, the Detroit Tigers. That broke the MLB record. Now, I know someone who's out there today in Boston, Evan from Vienna. What's going on, Evan?
How's it going, Wes? Long-time listener, first-time caller. Appreciate you having me on. Just was curious your thoughts on the postseason picture shaping up here last couple games. I know, like, the Tigers fans right now are a little bit disappointed, kind of starting to look towards a football season. But, yeah, I'm curious your thoughts on what the Tigers got to change for the postseason coming up, what we could keep doing. Is everything lost as far as a run? Do you think we're even going to get in? And is there a chance to, you know, maybe take the division back from Cleveland?
I don't think you're going to get the division because Cleveland is 22-8. In their last 30 games. They have an ERA at 3.6. You guys are 1-9 in your last 10. So I don't think you'll get the division, but I don't think that the Tigers fan base needs to be worrying about that right now. You need to worry about playing baseball in October. That is the big thing that the fan base needs to worry about. And they were booing last week in Detroit. You guys were in first place and the fan base was booing. So that's where I kind of question the fan base on, you know, trusting the teams. Now, I think that Riley Green has been the biggest issue on the offensive side. He was big all year, especially with power, and batted sub 200 in the month of October. Now, we saw Scooble go down with an injury. Now, he's back, but he hasn't been the same since his injury. So I don't think Tigers need to worry about winning division. It's about winning one more game in these two to get the postseason. Now, the Astros are behind you, but they would have to win the next two games against the Angels or the Tigers or Guardians get swept in their series. I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Tigers will get the last playoff spot. Now, when it comes to October, that's going to be an issue. You know, who do you have to win ball games besides Scooble? Casey Mize, can he come out there and be the number two guy for you guys?
I'm curious what you guys think or what you think about, you know, the I know last year the Tigers are running a lot of bullpen games. I think today they're starting off, it's going to be a bullpen game today. Is that something that can sustain throughout the postseason? Is that somewhere they look to go?
Well, we saw the Washington Nationals do that in 2019. Now, we also saw the Washington Nationals put Steven Strasburg and Max Scherzer in the bullpen, and those are two future Hall of Famers. So it's not – no, I don't think that's going to be reasonable to do that. I don't think that's going to win you games. Now, Kyle Finnegan, who the Washington Nationals traded to Detroit, was the one who blew it yesterday. So your bullpen hasn't been reaching its potential. It was better after the trade deadline, but it's still struggling. So both sides of the ball are weak right now, and that the whole team needs to figure out what they need to do. And who is the leader in that dugout? Who is the leader? Baez? Gleyber Torres? Skubal?
Good question.
That's what I'm curious. How can a team be so good in the first half and then have the biggest downfall in Major League Baseball? Someone in that dugout has got to step it up. And A.J. Hinch, I question him as a manager. Why is he not come out and question them? You know, I don't know. So we'll see. But I think right now you worry about winning one of these games this weekend. And you said you're going to be at the game?
I will indeed. I'll be at the game.
Gotcha.
Excited.
Gotcha. That's a big game. The Tigers trying to go to back-to-back postseason appearances. They last year beat the Houston Astros at home and then lost to the Cleveland Guardians in Cleveland. But yeah, it's going to be it's a big question mark. I'm not worried about the Tigers making the postseason. I'm worrying about them losing the first two games and they'll be out. It's a wild card series now. You know, it's not a one game wild card where the Tigers can maybe get lucky. They're going to have to win two games. So how's the fan base feeling about that?
Well, obviously, like you said, we've been booing, even at home games, not feeling great. Like I said, a lot of hype for the Lions right now. I think some fans have started to move on from baseball already, which is disappointing to see, but hopefully we can get that back these next couple of games, get some momentum going into the middle playoffs, get some of that focus back on baseball.
And this week the Lions have the Cleveland Browns. Kind of funny that both Detroit and Cleveland, both sports fighting each other right now. But for the Lions, what have you seen so far on the offensive side compared to last year?
I think that talent wins games. The coordinators, you know, they matter, but you got talent there. You got St. Brown, you got Gibbs, you got Montgomery, you got Jared Goff. You can do some crazy things. You can make something special happen. Don't necessarily need to depend on having a great coordinator. I mean, not saying our coordinators aren't great, but, you know, it shows that just talent wins games, not necessarily the coaching as much. So, looking positive here.
Yeah, Lions lost their week one matchup to the Packers 27-13 and then dropped 52 on the Bears and then had that game against the Ravens. But yeah, like you said, Montgomery having a pretty good season. 34 carries, 3 touchdowns, over 230 yards so far. But of course, a disappointing year last year for the Lions. I know they were kind of beat up in that towards the end of the season. That would maybe cause them getting blown out by the Commanders, you know, in the divisional round. So, question marks there for the Lions. I definitely think that when you're playing the Browns, you know, you're expecting to win. 77% chance that the Lions win this week against Cleveland. And possibly people are talking about it being Joe Flacco's last start because he's already thrown 4 interceptions in 3 games, only has 2 touchdowns. He's 77-4, 126. But looking up for the Lions, right?
Definitely, definitely. I'd say not a great start to the season. It looked a little bit dire there. I mean, Packers are a good football team, but I think especially after Monday night, great. I think the outlook is pretty good. I think next time we face up against the Packers, should have a lot more optimism. I think it's a good trajectory this season.
Right. And going back to baseball, is there a team in mind that you don't want to face if you're the Tigers in the American League?
I would say Seattle. They've just been hot, red hot.
Absolutely. Seattle's hot for sure. They are 8-2.
Scary team. Cal Raleigh, I think, should be the MVP. That's another conversation, though.
Yeah, Cal Raleigh, 60 home runs already this year. The only one thing that people question is probably his batting average compared to Aaron Judge. He's at 248. But his OPS, well above 900 at 954. So you wonder. But Seattle, first AL West championship since 2001. And that was when Ichiro was a rookie. 24 years. Wasn't even alive for that. It's been a long run, long road for the Seattle Mariners the last two decades. So, yeah, Seattle is definitely not a team that you want to face right now. They just went into Houston and kind of demolished their postseason dreams for 2025. But also, you know, the challenge for the Tigers so far is also their wins against postseason teams. You saw them lose six games to Cleveland. You know, they lost yesterday against Boston, and then they were at home against the Braves. I was expecting them to take two out of three. You never assume a sweep, and then the Braves were able to sweep that. But what's the vibe like out there in Boston right now, pregame?
Well, I mean, clinching last night, the energy was pretty electric, not gonna lie. Looks like a great game to be at. Very disappointed seeing that walk off, but I think, yeah, Boston fans are really excited. It's been a long season, lots of, you know, question marks going in, but they really turned it around. So it was cool to see outside looking in. Obviously not great as a Tigers fan. Hopefully we can turn around tonight. But yeah, I'd say Boston Red Sox are definitely got some momentum now. I think it's a special time here.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, because Boston doesn't really have as much to play for, because they're kind of settled into their second wild card. The Yankees have the first wild card at 92. Now the Blue Jays have the same record, but they have the head-to-head against New York. So I'm wondering what Boston's game plan is the next 2 days. You know, we see teams who clinch and they're kind of set in to their spot. They don't play their starters, or they have their starting pitcher only go four innings. I'm curious if this game, these next two games, could be the get right game for Detroit going into the postseason. And I would want to see that. You know, it's disappointing seeing a team drop so much with the potential they had, especially the season they had last year. But I think this is a good opportunity for Boston, for the Tigers to beat Boston.
You think, I mean, they're obviously celebrating last night, the Red Sox, so you think they might be a little bit tired coming into the game, maybe a little too much partying. I don't know the extent of which they partied, but it looks like they're having a good time in the clubhouse afterwards, so maybe they're maybe not on their A game today.
A little,
we can hope for that at least.
A little hangover for the Boston Red Sox, the Tigers hope for, as they get ready for their second matchup of the weekend on Saturday, that game at 4:10 Eastern. Now for the National League, you know, obviously the Reds are still in contention. What do you think about the New York Met fans being upset that the Marlins moved their top starting pitchers to play spoiler against them this weekend? You think that's a good baseball move, or does it seem a little petty?
I think you're playing a game to win. I mean, no matter what, you're going out there and you're competing. It doesn't matter. I mean, your division rivals is, I mean, even if the Marlins haven't been very competitive, your division rivals. So you don't want to just give a free handout. So I'd say I respect that. You got to go out there and win. Let the young guys get a chance. The guys who've been called up recently, you know, give the fans something to be excited about going next year. Just gotta stay competitive.
Absolutely agree. Sandy Alcantara pitched last night for the Miami Marlins. He went seven innings, six hits, two earned runs. He did walk two, only struck out three. He's had a tough season, over a 5 ERA. But yeah, I do respect the Marlins pitching their top starters this week against the Mets. And the Mets, it's crazy because they're kind of in the same boat as the Tigers. They had a 90% chance of making the postseason, and now they're down to 54.1 on ESPN. They lost the last game against the Marlins. Marlins, in fact, have the head-to-head against the Mets, which is shocking to see as the Mets have lost 82 games. But enough postseason talk for right now. Filling in for Doc Walker on 106.7 A Fan. I'm going to hit a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about the college football slate. Oregon, Penn State, LSU, Ole Miss. Big, big Saturday on football. Evan, I appreciate your call. Good luck today with your Tigers.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
Go Tigers.
Yes, sir. If you want to chime in, you can call 800-636-1067. I'm Wesley Clark, briefly filling in for Doc Walker. We will be right back. Welcome back to 106.7 The Fan. Doc Walker has entered the building. Glad to see him. We just talked about Major League Baseball briefly. Got a little Enter Sandman. Virginia Tech playing NC State this week. But like I said before, big slate in college football between Oregon, especially with Oregon tonight on NBC, Oregon and Penn State. I'm going to go out to the phone lines with Andrew Hyden from Vienna. How are you, Andrew?
How are you?
Good, good, good. I know you're a Big Ten guy, so I want to ask what you think between this Oregon and Penn State game.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Teams are built a little bit differently. Obviously, Oregon a little bit younger. Dante Moore, a young quarterback. DeCorian Moore, you know, super talented young wide receiver. And then you got Penn State, who returns pretty much everybody from last year. Obviously, Penn State hasn't had as much success in big games, obviously, as their fan base would like. So I'm interested. I don't really know what to think, but I'm excited to see both these teams. Oregon, you know, when you look at their schedule preseason, I think you would have thought you'd know a bit more about their team so far, but with how bad Oklahoma State and Oregon State have been, still a lot of unknown there. And then obviously Penn State playing the worst schedule in FBS. I think it'll be a good game to learn a lot more about both these teams.
And I'm curious on your opinion on Dante Moore. He came from UCLA, sat behind Dylan Gabriel last year, and he's been playing lights out. Almost 1,000 yards, 11 touchdowns, one interception. It's pretty good so far. Top 10 in his QBR.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been awesome. I mean, he's, you know, me, I'm a Michigan fan, and he was someone that Jim Harbaugh recruited a little bit because he's from the state of Michigan. So I've known a little bit about him since he was a recruit. And, coming from UCLA, I think, you know, making a decision to sit behind Dylan Gabriel is a really mature one. And I think you're kind of seeing that start to pay off for him. He looks comfortable. You know, he doesn't look like a young quarterback. I guess this is his third year in college, but still young when you think about his experience as a starter. He's definitely, if I were to make a short list for the Heisman right now, it would be hard not to put him in the top 10.
Absolutely. And if you look on the other side with Drew Aller, senior from Penn State, when he was in high school, you know, he was getting recruited by Ohio State, didn't get the offer he wanted, goes to Penn State. And in my opinion, I know he gets a lot of hype for what he's done, you know, obviously beating Boise State last year. But I don't think he has kind of lived up to the hype that the media has given him. Do other people feel the same way the same way as me? I'm curious.
I absolutely feel that way. I think he's been a little bit overrated maybe his whole career. Has he improved over the course of his time at Penn State? Absolutely. I think, what was it, his sophomore year, they went into Columbus, right? That was his sophomore year 2 years ago, and just got embarrassed. They had absolutely no rhythm on offense. He looked terrible. And so he's continued to progress, but I just don't think as a passer, and you know, this year they've got a better receiving core, notably Trevor Pena coming in from Syracuse. So we'll see there. I think he's actually improved more as a runner more than anything. He's got kind of unorthodox, like he doesn't look like a freak athlete out there. He runs a little goofy, but I think in terms of his decision making as to when to take off and when to take those running lanes for yards, I think that's been the biggest area of improvement in his game.
Yeah, I was at that game between Kyle McCord and Drew Aller. It was a 6-point game if you check the score at the end of the game. They have a garbage time touchdown. Marvin Harrison had right. the game-winning touchdown. But I think to me, when Ohio State went into Happy Valley last year, they were up 10-0. Will Howard threw a pick on the first possession for Ohio State. Then also Drew Aller threw a pick in the red zone. I think that game right. was a more of embarrassment for him in what he's done at Penn State than trying to go into Columbus, who was ranked higher than them at the time compared to last year when Penn State was the higher-ranked team and was at home.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, that home field advantage is definitely huge for Penn State. And, you know, going on the road in Columbus is not easy for anybody. But, yeah, that felt like it should have been their shot against Ohio State last year. And really the past, especially that game in Columbus, but also a little bit last year, even when the score is close, even when Penn State was up 10-0, you just don't get the sense that they have the type of offense, or they have had the type of offense to really pull away and put the game away, especially against a team like Ohio State. So I think that's still an area of growth that you would like to see from them.
Absolutely. And in that game, they end up scoring. Emeka Buka scores almost immediately to make it 10-7. I know you said you're a Michigan fan. Off weekend this week, you got Wisconsin. Next week is 2-2. Lost to Maryland last week. But what have you seen from your $3 million man throwing the ball?
Yeah, Bryce Underwood. I mean, loads of talent. It jumps off the film. His arm is super live. Probably as good of a thrower as I've seen at Michigan, you know, in terms of raw physical ability. I would say the issue more is with the receiving core. That's been something that hasn't been great at Michigan in a long time. You know, we've got just last week in the Nebraska game, I think it was somewhere like 4 to 6 drops. So I think Bryce actually played a better game than his stats will tell you. But yeah, just some, you know, he has freshman mistakes as you would expect. But I think the ceiling is as high as it could be. You know, word from within that building, within Schembechler Hall during fall camp was, you know, this kid might be as far already as J.J. McCarthy was in 2022, his first year as a starter. And obviously, you know, I think he's a more physically gifted, you know, player than J.J. McCarthy is already, as crazy as that is. But it's just the decision-making, you know, learning the offense. He struggles sometimes in, like, RPO game, you know, making the right read. But I think there's, you know, the sky's the limit for him.
Right, and I saw that, you know, his completion percentage is under 60%. Bottom of the pack at Big Ten, and do you think that's more a reflection on the core rather than him himself and his gameplay?
It's both. It's definitely both. The drops are a huge, huge issue. I think, I don't know where exactly Michigan lies in terms of national ranking on drops, but definitely up there. And then it's really not like an accuracy thing for him a lot of the time. It's just trying to force balls to, you know, you can tell how good of an arm he has, but you can also tell that he knows how talented of an arm he has, and he tries to put some balls in tight spaces. He throws into double coverage sometimes, puts the ball in harm's way a little bit. So there's some growth to be made there for sure.
Yeah, and live reaction to another Big Ten game between 21 USC at number 23 Illinois. Luke Altmyer won the 12-yard carry to make it 6-0. We saw that Illinois got just absolutely destroyed by Cignetti. I know Doc Walker, big fan of Kurt and what he's done at Indiana after coming from JMU. And he was fantastic with James Madison and brought some of his players over. Good season last year. Now, the one thing I question is the future scheduling with Indiana and that kind of strategy of why play tough teams, you know, when you're trying to go undefeated. But we see teams, you know, like Ohio State playing Texas, and Texas obviously hosting Ohio State next year. What do you think about that in the new strategy of playing, you know, teams like, not to diss out, you know, but at, like playing Akron and Toledo?
Yeah. You know, with the current model, I see Cignetti's thought process there. The thing is, for a team like, you know, if you're a 10-2 team in the Big Ten, you need like a signature win. And you know, scheduling a non-conference game is kind of the way to do that. You don't have to schedule number one Texas, you know, but to play those out-of-conference games that mean something, I don't totally agree with leaving them off your schedule and hoping not to lose. I think you should try to win big games and not avoid them just in case you lose them and it hurts your resume. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. And obviously, to Ohio State, I know you're a Michigan fan, but an unbiased opinion for today's game at 3:30 on CBS between Ohio State at Washington. Washington, one of the better home environments, 22 straight home wins in Seattle, and they got playmakers. Andrew, and I'm curious of what you think about this game. But Julian Sane, obviously we know the names on the Ohio State side. The Huskies struggle dearly on the defensive side, score a lot of points. But what do you think between Ohio State and Washington? A big Big Ten matchup this week between those two teams.
Yeah, this is one that I've been excited for a couple weeks. I think Washington should be ranked, to be honest.
I do agree.
I think this should be a ranked matchup. I think, you know, obviously they have Damon Williams. He's super talented. He came when Michigan went to Washington and lost last year. He came into the game a little bit. I could see how talented he was. They have good receivers. You know, defense has been a little bit of a struggle for them. But, you know, as far as their offense goes, I think they have some potential. So, I don't know. I think this is a game where you're going to learn more about them. In terms of Ohio State, unbiasedly, Julian Sane, I think, has not been asked to do a whole lot, but, you know, he's excelled in what he's been asked to do, you know, especially against Texas, right? When your defense is playing that well, there's no need to, you know, hand the keys to your first-time starter and ask him to do a whole lot. I think there will come a time this year when they have to ask Julian Sane to do a whole lot. And, you know, we'll see if he's ready for it. Like, I think that same thing kind of happened with Will Howard last year. I don't think he was anything world beating in the first part of the season, but then once they got into the playoffs, you saw him have to make some big time throws, and he made those big time throws. So I think Julian Sane's a good player. You know, unbiasedly, Underwood's better, but
okay.
I think he's excelled at what he's been asked to do so far, and that's all you can really ask for him.
Julian Sane, the right now ranked number one in deep passes, that's 20 yards and more. Denzel Boston is the guy in the receiving core that people talk about. Three touchdowns, averaging over 15 yards per catch. That's the same amount as Jeremiah Smith. Obviously, the strength of schedule is a huge difference between Ohio State and Washington. Ohio State 39 and Washington in the 100s. So it's really one of those games where, you know, you see a lot. You see Washington, you know, dropping, you know, 70 on UC Davis and then a 59 on Washington State. You don't really know, but you assume that the Ohio State defense, at the pace they play, especially against Texas, I know Arch Manning's having a tough go at things, but still a great, good team that they have in Austin. And, you know, the goal line stand that they continue to succeed in the last couple years. I'm curious to see how that goes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you coming on. I know it's
probably a nice
to have a week off with your Wolverines.
It is, yeah, especially with as good of a slate as we have. It's nice to be able to just watch other games, not stress about my team. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Andrew Heiden from Vienna. We're going to hit a break. It is 12:33. Doc Walker in the building. We'll hear from him next. You can chime in at 800-636-1067. This is Wesley Clark. We'll be right back.
Wes.
How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thank goodness for technology. And it's pretty hard to drive with three tires.
I can't believe you did it.
Well, I had to do it. Because today is, first of all, 30 years ago, which I think you missed. But you did see last night the Hoos.
Yep.
And the Seminoles. So rewind 30 years ago when Bowden was on one side. I mean, it was just, well, it was similar environment. And I give those young people up there a lot of credit because it's not, quote, powerhouse. But you can't tell when they get a big game going on and how that community evolves. I love AWOD. He was there. I should have known he was there. And when the crowd, when they decide to descend on the field, it is, it's a special moment in college football. So I was happy. I was happy for him. It was a hell of a game. Not all these games are good games. They just aren't. But that one, that was really, really, really good. And loved your baseball talk because I can't recall a year that there's been this much action.
No, no, no. I mean,
not at this point in time.
No, no, yeah. I mean, there was history making. I mean, coming back from 50 and a half.
Yeah. Because you're, who's your, what team do you choose? Do you say that you, this is my team, baseball team? I hope you're not one of those people that hops around.
No.
Only picks a team when they're good.
No. So I have family from Houston and was an intern for their sports radio.
You didn't answer my question.
So I do the Astros.
You who?
Astros.
Oh, so you Strohs. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not mad at that.
I was just going to wonder, you're just going to start questioning.
No, no,
so
they're
that's
very
why
good.
I prefaced
they're
it
very
with
good.
Why.
I loved them. No, no, very good. I mean, cheated, whatever. Who's not, for that matter? But what we're showing now is that who's really on the up and up? Think about it.
Wait, are you gonna, do you want me to say the Dodgers? Because the Dodgers have been up. Or the up and up,
we don't
the Mariners.
To, you, why do you have, you don't have to cheat if you have money.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, what's cheating for? It's legal. Yeah, everybody's doing. Nobody know. Says the Yankees are cheating. The Boston's cheating.
All the
best secret in the world is the Padres. They're not broke. They're rolling. That whole area, when you think about it. But the big thing that I'm really intrigued on is to where you're putting your allegiance today and tomorrow, where the action is coming down. Who are you hanging your hat on? And, of course, and we'll get to the main dish a little bit later as to what do you expect to happen out of our beloved Burgundy and Gold.
But for Major League Baseball, I'm going to tip my cap to Cleveland. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
No, they had a 0.1, you know, chance to win the
I
division.
Hope they do.
They had
I hope
a,
they
on
do.
July 8th, a 2.1% chance to get to the playoffs. So I'm going to tip my cap to them.
I just like the name change. They got out of it, and they didn't cry like sissies.
And I don't think their fans really call for a change either.
But they reacted to it. And when you win, it doesn't matter if you're the polka dots. It only matters if you suck and people are trying to relive history. But the product on the field is what determines where I go. I mean, I don't give a damn what you call them or what they look like if they're good, because the bottom line to this is, you know, it's about winning. For some of us, not all. That's the beauty of this era we live in right now. That for everybody has their own agenda, and nobody's wrong. Nobody's better than the other person. It's just that, you know, what you look for and what I look for could be a little different. This is why I think this Falcon matchup is so intriguing. So intriguing. So I've been really into the dialogue, and you've been bringing it, which I love.
Thank you.
I love. Even though you're going to end up being just, your heart's going to be broken once again towards the end of the season, but we'll wait for that.
Okay.
I'm going to.
You know, I brought in my Michigan buddy.
You know what? And all your people are marks. You staged all that, so.
Nope. Hey, he knew ball. He knew it.
Yeah, but they all drink the same Kool-Aid you drink. So that's a setup. And it's cool. No problem. Come on. It's going to happen at the end of the year, and there's nothing either one of us can do about it. You're scared to death, and you should be. You should be, because it's be five.
Yes.
You know, yes. And
you know, I wouldn't want to be Ohio State like they did 8 to Michigan, right?
Did they do 8?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
It would have been 9 if Jim Harbaugh didn't bail out on COVID.
So you mean, with that distance that the Wolverines had over the Buckeyes, it was even worse?
Like, are you talking about the all-time record?
Yeah, that's what most people say.
Yeah.
They judge it by the overall record.
Sure, but
overall.
Like the last 100 years, Ohio State has the edge.
So you gauge it. You change the game. So you only count the last.
I count
with
the people that are alive on Earth right now.
But you're changing the game, which is okay.
Yeah, sure.
That's okay. That's what you young people do. You have a busted grape in life, but you want to change standards. You want to change parameters, and I don't mind you for that, because some of these people may be dumb enough to allow you to get away with it, but not here. We play by the rules the way everything is for everybody.
So wouldn't it be playing by the rules? Wouldn't that mean, you know, who wins the national championship? Winning the last game of the season?
Yeah. I mean, here's the deal. There's no bad national championship. But there are national championships that have more of a luster to them because they actually won the conference.
And there's no asterisk next to it.
No. No, they won it in a way that it was legal. Did they take it away?
Well, they should have compared. If you want to compare it to Tattoogate in 2011 with Ohio State.
I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with you. I'm just going by what the record state. You feel that way about the Patriots too?
Oh, absolutely. Against the Colts?
Well, I'm just saying people have associated them with cheating.
But it's funny how who's the quarterback of that Patriots team? It seems like there's a trend.
Yeah, they usually do have pretty good talent at the quarterback position.
No. It's Tom Brady went to Michigan.
Well, this is not me and you versus Ohio State. I mean, I like both.
Hey, I'm gonna defend.
But you change the rules. What is it about your age group of people that feel like they have the right to change rules?
Because we all think that, you know, I was born 2003, so everything started.
Okay.
2003.
Now that makes sense. I can buy.
And I'm not the only one who thinks that.
I can accept that. If you believe that, then I can accept it because. It would go in line. Okay, that would kind of go in line. Yeah, I loved your college football. Did you put your mark on who you? Well, I guess you're such a predictor. Who will win today? There's only how many big games today? Wait, Penn State a big game to you?
Yes, but I think and I have Oregon winning. They have won six wideout games in a row, but those games are against 22. Auburn, like an unranked, I think, Washington. You know, the last time they really won big in the whiteout was when they upset, last time they beat Ohio State.
So you're saying they pretty much avoid the big guns in the whiteout?
They have finally had a top 10 matchup in the whiteout. Finally. That's the first time they've done it, I believe, since 2016. And I'll give them credit. They beat Ohio State, but that was the last time they beat Ohio State. But they do avoid
it. It's a big win. If you ever beat the Buckeyes, it's a big win.
Yeah. But for them today, I think what Oregon's done in the last couple games, I don't know anyone who's stopping that offense right now, to be honest. Maybe Texas and Ohio State.
No, I respect what Ohio State has done. I mean, the fact that impressive part about it, because we beat them in 76 in a significant game, and it still resonates. That's how good they've been.
Yeah.
They've never dropped or dipped or fallen off the map.
They've never had a season where they had lost more than 8 games.
Yeah. No, I respect it. I respect it. And
only program, too.
I'd have to fact check that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would.
Hey, remember last time you tried to fact check me with the best winning percentage in college football? You thought it was Michigan, but it's actually Ohio State. It was one of our first conversations when I first started here.
Yeah, I understand that. I think Brian Carpenter called in and put his two speeds by us. As you are as well with the Buckeyes, he is with Michigan.
That's
so
fine.
It's you know, it's okay. It's okay. This is going to be almost like a stew. This thing is going to have to brew itself together, because I think this is one of the most fascinating weeks in pro football for a number of reasons, especially here at home, because we're going to get some people now to find out the future of this program will be accelerated. Or it's going to be some real disappointed people. Because there's people that have been drafted high, paid a lot, and need to play their behinds off in order for this team to win. Back in a moment. It is drizzly. A little baseball action coming up. I don't know if it'll be a factor or not. I need my weather guy, Coach Sheehan, to give me a forecast on it. What's your body clock tell you? Play baseball today?
For like all MLB or for the Nats?
Here.
In D.C.?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're playing the White Sox, who I think have lost 100 games already.
Now, what does that have to do with the weather?
Oh, the weather?
Yeah, I asked you about your weather forecast. A little drizzly when I
thought you were asking for predictions.
No. Why would I do that? Why would I do that?
I've been pretty good at predicting the weather back in my day in college.
Oh, really? So you got a little Sheehan gift as well as a meteorologist. You know, I really haven't found anything yet that you don't do. You kind of like do everything.
Which is
frightening. Yeah, it's frightening.
You never know.
Well, no, I do.
The next move.
Well, no, I kind of do. That's the issue. What concerns? I heard AY was on point, as he always is. This game against Atlanta, what is your – because you're so brash. Give me your brash analysis.
It's going to be small ball. And I think that – I feel like everybody knows that. Unless you can think I'm just completely wrong. But at least on the – you know, with McLaurin, Noah Brown, you know, Jaden Daniels out. But I don't think that's a problem. It's, you know, it's the way that the Eagles win ball games. I think going that route and expecting your defense to come out there and do their job, I have no problem with what's going to happen on Sunday.
Small ball. Yeah, I would like to think that you're right. I would like to think that we would take the run game and have a higher priority on it. I'm not certain that'll happen, but that's what I'd vote for. If I had a vote in it, I love where Atlanta is now. And they're, when teams stink, and they were terrible last week, but now all of a sudden they're supposed to be angry. Where was the anger while they were getting their behinds tore up? Commanders went down and got tore up from the flow up against Green Bay. And then they came back and had a different personality, they had a different approach. What's Atlanta's different approach?
Well, I mean, they 30 points against the Panthers. Unless the Panthers are something that we don't know, then...
And it could be.
And I'll give them credit, but zero points. Kirk Cousins came into the game. What was it, 2-3 interceptions by Penix? I think just keeping, you know, the ball safe is probably what they're going to try to lean on. You don't want the Commanders to keep getting the ball. But, I mean, if you're the Commanders, then that's exactly what you aim for. Put pressure on Michael Penix and have him make mistakes and give your offense as many opportunities as possible because you don't have your two all-stars out there.
Mm. No, I'm with you. I'm not certain that we've seen the script for this one at all because, to me, I don't think deep down that we really want to run. I think we talk about running, but to me, if we really were all about ground and pound, it'd be so simple to institute it. What's the problem?
You think it's because of the money that they've spent now?
No, I just think that Kingsbury is where he is because he's had success. But a leopard has a pattern on his body like a tiger does. He really doesn't change it. If you have in that kind of, there's very few people sick enough, and there are a few of them around, that if something works, they continue to do it until you submit.
Yeah, I mean.
That's what I would do. You would have to cancel the game. You'd be telling the officials that you want me thrown off the field because this is just brutal. Because we're running the same play 8, 9, 10 times in a row if you can't stop it. Now, that's sick, but it's honest. The creative types scare me. It's really, really artistic. But check the win record. That's the problem that I have with it. But we'll see. I am hopeful. 12:58 here in the nation's capital. And we'll take a quick break, come back, attack the 1 o'clock hour here in the nation's capital. And I'm going to get this young fella here. His feelings get hurt a little bit because if I don't praise Ohio State, he really can't handle it. Stay with us. We'll be back.